Open your Bibles, if you will, this morning to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. I want to begin reading in verse 35. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 35. Our time is short this morning, and so we'll get right to what we need to talk about. Hebrews 10 and verse 35. Therefore, he says, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Ladies and gentlemen, life is hard. And some days, it gets even harder. And the easiest response to threatening and overwhelming times that come into our lives, the easiest response is to panic, is to just give up, is to chuck our faith and run. It is, as the Hebrew writer says, the easiest thing for us to do is to just shrink back. And he says that is the one thing that we cannot do. Verse 39, we are not those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. I choose to have faith. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I'd like to tell you that faith comes very easy for me. I would like to tell you that I always have an unwavering confidence in God. I would like to tell you that I always trust, I always pray, and I never worry about anything. I said to you, I would like to tell you those things. But if I did, that would be a lie. Because sometimes my faith gets weak and weary. Sometimes, if I don't exercise my faith enough, the muscles of my faith get flabby. Sometimes, my faith isn't what it ought to be. I think of that father in Mark chapter 9 and verse 24, when Jesus was conversing with him, and he said, oh yes, I believe. And then he turned right around and said, Lord, help my unbelief. I've been there. Or the 12 in Luke 17 and verse 5, when they pleaded with Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. And sometimes I think Jesus was pointing at me when he said, O ye of little faith. Somebody asked me one time, how do you preachers know what to preach on? Well, I can't speak for anybody else. But it's easy for me. It's easy. Because I learned a long time ago, if I just get up and talk about the stuff I need, then in all probability, it's the same stuff everybody else needs too. And what I need is faith. I don't know anybody who doesn't need more faith. I don't know anybody who doesn't need a stronger conviction in the things of God. So, let's quit pretending, shall we, that we have all the answers. And let's quit pretending as if we have it all together all of the time. Let's quit pretending as if we never worry or question or doubt. Let's quit pretending all of that, because I'll tell you what that is, ladies and gentlemen, it's phony. I don't know anybody who has not at times struggled with faith. What is it? What is faith? Five letters. Little word. It falls so easily from our lips. Oh, listen, you just got to have faith. But what does that mean? What is that? Well, we understand faith is essential to salvation. We got that. We can go quote all kinds of verses that say that. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We understand that faith is essential to salvation. We get that. We understand that. My point to you this morning is, faith is not only necessary to save you eternally, faith is necessary to get you through the day after day after day struggles of life. It's the only thing that will. How would you complete the sentence? How would you complete the sentence? Faith is, and then there's a blank. What would you put in the blank? Well, I would put the word trust in there. Because I don't know how you can talk about faith and not talk about trust. Faith is trust. That's what it is. It's trusting God to handle me in troublesome times. It's trusting God to get me through the maze of problems and difficulties and trials and temptations of life. It is trusting God to get me from here to my eternal destination. Because I understand I cannot get there on my own. Now, I'll tell you, when you learn about faith, we don't think about it. But I'll tell you, when you learn about faith, it's when you get on an airplane. Why am I willing to get on an airplane and turn myself over life, limb, and the pursuit of happiness to somebody I've never seen before? And to somebody I'll never see again? Why am I willing to do that? Well, there's only one reason. Faith. I have faith that the pilot is trained and qualified to fly that aircraft. I have faith in the principle of physics and aerodynamics that that airplane is airworthy. I have faith in the air traffic control system that they're going to be watching over that plane and they're going to be keeping us separate from other planes. I have faith in statistical evidence that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that the most dangerous part of the journey is not the trip in the airplane, it's the trip to the airport in your car. And so I have faith in all of those kinds of things, and I make a decision on the basis of faith to get on the airplane. But now listen to me. When I make the decision to get on the airplane, 75% of me doesn't get on the airplane. 85% of me doesn't get on the airplane. 95% of me doesn't get on the airplane. When I make a decision of faith, it's all in. I have to commit 100%. And ladies and gentlemen, it's the same with God. You're either all in or you're not in. You see, our faith has to be practical. If our faith isn't practical, it's useless. See, we can talk about faith all day long in here. We can sing these songs about faith like we've done this morning. We can read verses about faith. We can do all of that. But if it doesn't translate into action out there, it's useless. Because we don't live here. We live out there. We go to school out there. We go to work out there. And times are hard. And days are difficult. Now we can quote the verse, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. It's an easy verse to quote. It's a hard verse to live. It's hard to live because our culture is so sight-oriented. If I can touch it, if I can see it, if I can sit down and prove it with my human logic, then I can trust. If I can't, then I can't sleep. I can't relax. I can worry. I'm really good at that. But worry, ladies and gentlemen, is the opposite of faith. But maybe that's when God does His best work for us and in us, When you have nowhere else to go but Him. When you have no one else upon whom to lean but Him. You start learning about the depth of your faith. Because if your faith doesn't count in hard times, your faith doesn't count at all. So, I want you to move on into the next verse in Hebrews. There's a chapter division. Ignore it. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 continues on the theme of faith. And the Hebrew writer gives us six truths about faith. There's six things about faith in these first six verses of Hebrews chapter 11 that you need to understand and you need to know. So here they are. Number one. The first thing that he says is, faith requires assurance and conviction. Do you see that in verse 1? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. The word assurance means to stand under something so that it is supported. I like what the King James Version says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, ladies and gentlemen, words mean something. Think about that word. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance is comprised of a suffix, stance, and a prefix, sub. Well, what does that mean? Well, the word stance means to stand. We talk about a politician. We'll say, what's his stance on that particular issue? Well, if he's a politician, he stands on both sides. But it means to stand. The prefix sub means under. What is a submarine? It's a vehicle that goes under the water. Now, you put that together. And when he says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, what he's saying is, your faith, listen carefully, stands under you. Your faith is what supports you. When everyone around you is falling apart, when everything around you is falling apart, your faith is there to keep you going. It's what gives you the strength to face another day. It's the only thing that will. Faith requires assurance, substance. And he says faith requires conviction. What is conviction? What do you have to convict a criminal? Well, you better have proof. You better have evidence. What is faith? It is proof. It is living proof that God is going to take care of me, and God is going to take care of my family, and God is going to take care of this situation no matter what. It is being convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm not in control. God is. And that He can handle this, and He can handle me. He always has, and He always will. When we talk about faith, we're not talking about some kind of flimsy feeling. That's not what faith is. Look at the words. Faith is assurance. It is conviction. It is substance. It is proof that God's in control and He can take care of me. Secondly, he says in verse 1, faith points to the future. Now, faith is the assurance of things, which direction? Hoped for. Hope points to the future. But so does our worries. Do we not worry about what's going to happen in the future? Do we not worry about tomorrow? Do we not come up with all of these futuristic what if imaginary scenarios? But what if my marriage struggles? But what if my kids don't turn out like I want them to turn out? What if I get cancer? What if this or that happens? Why do we do that? Well, I know the answer. We do that because we tend to view tomorrow in the light of our ability to control everything. But if you view tomorrow in the light of your ability to control everything, then you might as well go ahead and worry. But if you view tomorrow in the light of God's capability to handle all things, then there's your basis of faith. Because God says, if your marriage struggles, I'll be with you. If your kids walk away, I'm not going anywhere. If you're diagnosed with cancer, He says, look, I'll go with you every day. I will go with you through the treatments. I will go with you through the side effects. I will go with you through the great unknown. I will go with you through the valley of the shadow of death. He says in the book of Hebrews later in chapter 13 and verse 5, I will not desert you. I will never leave you, He says. Faith points to the future. And when you look to the future, God is there. And that solidifies our trust. Third, faith involves the unseen. You see that in verse 1? The evidence or the conviction of things I cannot see. Now, that's the hard part, because I want to see it. I want to be able to know all of the answers. I want to be able to say, God, where are you leading me? And know exactly where that is. And so given the choice between walking by faith and walking by sight, I would rather walk by sight. Just like Thomas. Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And there's a lot of us just like him. And Jesus turned to him and said to him and to us, because you have seen me, have you believed? And then he says, blessed are they. This is us. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. Now there's the basis of faith. J. Oswald Sanders, in his book on leadership, made the observation. He said, no pessimist ever makes a great leader. Because the pessimist will see the difficulty in every opportunity. The optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. Now, you're either one or the other. You're either an optimist or a pessimist. Now, if we translate that into biblical terms, you're either walking by faith or you're walking by sight. When you study the great men and women of the Bible and you engage in character studies of their lives, what you're going to find out is the people that God used, Joshua and Caleb and Joseph and Daniel and Esther and Ruth and Mary and Paul and all of the other, what you find are these men and women had tremendous faith. No pessimist ever made a great leader. No pessimist ever understood Bible faith. Look at verse 2. The fourth thing that he says is, faith is basic. Faith is basic to pleasing God. For by it the men of old gained approval. And from this point on through the rest of the chapter in Hebrews chapter 11, he gives example after example after example of people who started with nothing and ended up with great blessing. Why? Because they just trusted God. And even God goes back to a time when there was nothing. And God Himself set the precedent by creating the visible out of the invisible. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. He says God made something out of nothing. You say, well, what does that have to do with me and my faith and my everyday life? Everything. Here it is. If the God of creation, who can operate in the area of the unseen, if God can make something out of nothing, can He not take you and can He not take your life and on the basis of your faith make something out of what you think is an impossible situation? We say, Lord, I don't know where this thing is going. I don't see any way that you can make something good out of this. And God says, hold it a minute. If I can create the world out of nothing, don't you think I can handle you? Don't you think I can handle your problems? What he asks us to do is to believe that he can. And so I read in verse 4, by faith Abel. And I read in verse 5, by faith Enoch. And I read in the rest of the chapter, by faith this person and by faith that person. And the same thing is true with you, verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. He says, by faith it is impossible for you to please him. Notice he doesn't say it is improbable. He doesn't say it is highly unlikely. He says it is impossible. In other words, if you're trying to work out your problems all by yourself and on your terms, God says you're not living in pleasing in my sight. If you're worried about it, if you're trying to walk by sight, God says you're not living in a way that pleases me. It is impossible to please him without faith. Now, here it is. Don't try to fake faith. And don't try to fool God by trying to make up for it in some other way. I've run across people who do that. Their attitude is, listen, I struggle with faith, and so I'm going to read my Bible more. And that's going to make up for my lack of faith. No, it won't. I'll attend more services. I'll even come to Bible class. I'll get more involved. That'll make up for my lack of faith. No, it won't. I'll give more money. I'll pray more. I'll become spiritually busy. That'll make up for my lack of faith. No, it won't. Because there's no substitute for faith. None. You ever notice that when you fill up your car with gas, you have to take out a bank loan? I mean, it's expensive. And you pump that gas into your vehicle. You have to do that because that's the fuel that your vehicle is designed to run on. And so you just have to do it. So let's say one morning you're pumping gas and you're just sick and tired of paying all of this money to do that. And so you say, enough! I'm not doing this anymore! And so you go home and stick the water hose in your tank and you fill it up with water. You know, there's a lot of advantages to that. Water is cheaper. It's not going to blow up. It's not going to pollute the environment. There's a lot more of it around. And so you could make a lot of arguments in favor of water in doing that. There's only one slight little problem. You know what it is? It ain't going to work. Because it is impossible to drive your car when the tank's full of water. And I'm telling you, it's impossible to live your life when your tank is filled with anything else except faith. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then he says, verse 6, faith means we believe God is real. Without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God, here it is, must believe that he is. Ladies and gentlemen, could someone come to the conclusion that God is real in your life by watching you and how you respond to difficult situations? In other words, when you are besieged by hardship, do you show your faith or do you fall apart as if faith doesn't even exist? And if faith doesn't exist, then apparently God doesn't exist. Our reaction to our troubles becomes a testimony to those around us as to whether or not we believe that God is real. And I tell parents all of the time, listen, little eyes are watching us. What do they see? What kind of faith do they see in mom and in dad? And then finally, he says, last point, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Faith understands that God rewards the person who seeks after him. The King James Version says, diligently seeks after him. Real faith not only believes God is real, but that God's going to come through. That God's going to somehow, on his timetable, not mine, he's going to work this out. Is your faith that deep? It says, Lord, I'm tired of wrestling with this. I'm tired of worrying about this. I'm tired of losing sleep over this. I say I believe in you. I'm going to start living that truth. Here is my life. You take it 100%. I'm all in. You take over. Do you have that kind of faith? Let me leave you with two questions. One question people ask sometimes, why is faith so hard for me? Well, there's always a reason. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's being afraid that God's not going to come through for the likes of me. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's anger towards another person that squeezes out our faith. Maybe it's pride. We don't think we need God. Maybe it's hypocrisy. Maybe I'm faking it and I know that God knows that I'm faking it. There's always a reason. And if you'll be honest with yourself, you can find the reason why faith is hard. But the second question is, why is it so difficult to live a day at a time? We talk about that all of the time. Well, you just need to live a day at a time. And the Bible says that again and again. Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days. Live a day at a time. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Live a day at a time. Do not be anxious for tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day is enough trouble of its own, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Translate, live a day at a time. How? By faith. That's the only way you can. What we said in the very beginning this morning is life is hard and sometimes it gets even harder. And you better work on your faith. You better work on your faith because you're going to need it. I choose to have faith. And may God help me to deepen my conviction and my trust in Him. We'll sing a song of invitation this morning. If you're not a Christian, why don't you obey the gospel? You can't be saved without faith. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And we understand that faith encompasses all that God has asked us to do. And there are people here who will assist you this morning in obeying the gospel and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you need to respond to God in some other way, as the song suggests, we ask you to trust and obey. And come back to Him as the prodigal did. And we'll pray with you and help you and encourage you. Won't you come while we stand and sing?